You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Janet Eckelman. Janet, thanks so much for being with me today.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Brainerd.
Janet,
I'm
of course,
so glad
we talked
to be joining you.
Once before. It was several years ago in 2016 where we did an interview. And so, of course, since then, so much has happened and continues to happen with your work and traveling shows. So let's begin with your book, Radical Softness. This is a book that just came out last year, and there's exhibits and more that are coming out of this, right?
Yes. The book just came out a few months ago. Radical Softness, The Responsive Art of Janet Eckelman, is edited by the art historian Gloria Sutton. And it's really different than most art books out there in that it is a global collection of 30 contributors who have each written short essays. It has a foreword by Swizz Beatz. Swizz and his wife Alicia Keys recently had their collection at the Brooklyn Museum. It has engineers from MIT and Princeton talking about the history of my craft. And it has art historians, feminist art historians, the deputy director of the New Museum in New York City talking about my public interfacing art, architects, landscape architects, even an economist talking about the economy of place. It's just a very diverse range of voices speaking to the impact and underpinnings of the work and how it intersects with so many disciplines, from global art history to computation and computer science, material science, landscape architecture, and architecture.
That's very exciting, you know, to mm-hmm. have that to talk about all the influences, because that's what we're talking about here. Your place historically is in part what the book is framing in what you were just saying.
Yes.
Right?
And it really draws these connections through history from the architect Gaudí and his models using chains that are draped with gravity, and from those approaches and how that connects into my sculpture practice and the way that we model and drape in order to create these monumental sculptures that move in the wind that are the scale of buildings. And it's 288 pages of beautiful photographs that show behind the scenes how the work is made, how we install it, all of the things that you wouldn't normally get to see when you hop onto our Instagram page.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a very exciting and beautifully produced book. And of course, there's links here for listeners to look at the book and potentially buy it. Let's talk a little bit more about that relationship in terms of architectural modeling and planning with Gaudí, as you were saying. You say there's a similar way of modeling and beginning what you're doing?
Well, my earliest sculptures, I was working with purely physical models, as Gaudí and the people of his era were also doing, where you find equilibrium by draping a physical piece or a chain, for example, to find what is the correct curve that a piece of material will fall in equilibrium when gravity is the force upon it. And my work now, you know, building at 600 feet or 750 feet for my largest piece spanning over the waterfront in Vancouver, these pieces, we've now had to develop new proprietary software that is original to my art studio. It's taken us more than a decade to develop this with a whole team of computer scientists in Berlin and San Francisco. Now we are modeling this with computation in the computer, and that is what has enabled me to build these sculptures at the scale. I mean, Gaudí in Barcelona, he was doing physical model making, and some of his work took many, many years before it was realized in built form, the cathedral of Sagrada Familia.
Yeah, of course, that's still being built, you know, the cathedral, right? It's taking an enormous amount of time, or it had a break for a while. But you were about to say something else about that process?
Oh, that the book, Radical Softness, is a companion to the newly opened Traveling Museum Retrospective, which is a survey of the last four decades of my work, from the earliest drawings and textile works, the transition into volumetric sculpture, and then to the public scale, and then the newest experimental work involving dance and dancers is also part of that exhibition. It has opened in the Sarasota Art Museum and will run through April 26th. And that will then travel to multiple cities, which stay tuned as those become confirmed.
So there'll be links here to that as well for the listeners. But let's talk about how this show is put together, because a retrospective of your work is, of course, not so easy to mount, right? We're not talking about sculptures on pedestals or frames on the wall. It has to be site-specific in each case, I would imagine.
That's right. And my team and I went down to the museum and installed several works. Some are full-scale, utilizing the architecture and skylights within the museum, and some are scale models. There is a 1/10 scale model of a piece that is many hundreds of feet, a permanent work in Texas, Butterfly Rest Stop. And then the work that was part of my design process is actually an artwork in its own right, and it fills an entire room of the museum. So there are all different scales, and it's one of the first times that my small models and maquettes, which are small sculptures in their own right, are given that attention and lit with projected shadows on the wall, that they're really being given their due, has been exciting for me as an artist to see. So that's wonderful. There's also a large scale model of the new current exhibition, which is in its full scale at the MIT Museum in Cambridge, Massachusetts. That piece is called Remembering the Future, and it traces the history of the Earth's climate from the last ice age and then branches off into multiple potential future trajectories. So one segment of that is at the four-decade survey exhibition at the Sarasota Art Museum.
So let's talk about that at the Sarasota Art Museum, the projection into the future, because while we're talking about beautiful sculptural forms that are immersive in many ways, there's also a narrative and something very specific in terms of information in exactly the work you were just talking about, correct?
Yes. Well, this work you can view at both museums currently. At MIT Museum in Cambridge, Massachusetts, that is the site where I've been working the last 3 years with climate scientists and structural engineers. At MIT, they created a new computational tool to help me with finding equilibrium in these complex geometries of tensioned ropes. And that is a way of visualizing this narrative of our planet. And I worked with climate scientists, Raffaele Ferrari, and he helped me understand the Earth's history and find the most relevant way to highlight that in a visual form. And I worked with another group at MIT, the En-ROADS group, which visualizes the future in ways that you can shift different inputs of human action, how much fossil fuel we use, how much, all the different inputs and actions that happen. So for me, my real goal in creating this new work, Remembering the Future, it's really about finding a calm, quiet moment as a human being to make sense of where we are in history right now, living on this planet, to be able to see the past and see the future in a three-dimensional visual form is something that I craved myself personally. And so this artwork grew out of all this collaboration at MIT as their Mellon Distinguished Visiting Artist at the Center for Art, Science, and Technology. And that unfolded over the last 3 years.
So let's talk about that vision a bit. As you said, it's something, you know, that you wanted for a while, right? Artists make things often because it's something that they want to see. And, you know, as well as, of course, having a powerful message. Where do you see the world now in terms of where we are and where we're going?
Well, as an artist, I don't see my role as telling people what to think. I avoid that. My work is more about creating a space and an experience where we can sit with something in a calm, contemplative way and be held by the really the artwork holds you in time and in place. And it gives you, the viewer, a chance to find out how you feel about it. I'm not a didactic artist, and these are experiential works that open up a possibility. They're an invitation for contemplative thought.
Well, the contemplative thinking is also about the idea of branching out to visualize multiple potential futures, right? So as viewers walk through you know, the MIT show or Sarasota, we're looking at a history, a timeline in some respects from the Ice Age to the present moment. But when it's talked about that the exhibit also, you know, visualizes branching out in potential futures, can you tell me a little bit about what those potential futures are that it's visualizing?
Sure, sure. Well, I can tell you that some of them are more conducive to human life and are in the colors of green and blue of our beautiful environment, and some become hotter in both color temperature and what they're expressing. Hotter temperatures become into the bright oranges and move upward in space, up actually the entry staircase of the MIT Museum. So you can physically, palpably feel the different futures. And what's so interesting is that I elongate the moment of now, this present moment, in a single yellow line. And that moment is pulled into the highest tension of any part of the structure. What's really unique at MIT is that the tool that they created, which I use in our computers, is shared with the public. And there's an interactive screen where any member of the public can touch and move the different elements and be part of the design process. And I think very soon this will be on their website so that you can access it remotely as well. But to answer your question more directly, the multiple futures split off, some much hotter and higher in temperature and some lower and cooler and more temperate for human life.
And so that's very clear. And of course, that's what we're all faced with here in terms of this work. Though you said it's contemplative and immersive, This is an activist element to it, right? You're not telling people what to think or what to do or how to potentially help this situation. But would you say it's activist in the sense that it's raising social awareness, consciousness to a situation that does require our individual and collective input?
I think its role in activism is that it empowers each of us to feel our full potent energy to shape the future, to remind us. And I think there is an undiscussed grief and loss about the whole climate issue that is so painful that many of us, and myself included, just don't want to dwell on it because it is so painful. And just even acknowledging what has already happened and what cannot be changed about species that have been lost and temperatures that have been lost in terms of possible outcomes. So I think that this is a contemplative work that doesn't tell you what to think, but invites you to fully experience everything that is true in a calm and quiet way. And I think that unexpressed grief and loss, by having a safe space to feel it, actually unleashes our power, because running away from that painful reality is disempowering. I think it cuts us off from being able to see the world clearly and being able to see our own power to shape the future.
Janet, tell me a little bit about the dance that's also coming up, correct?
Yes. The collaboration between myself as a sculptor and the choreographer Rebecca Legere opens next Thursday night in Boston. Arts Emerson presents Noli Temeri, which means don't be afraid. It will have performances at the Cutler Majestic Theater in downtown Boston, January 29th to February 1st. And it's really breaking work for me. It's an exploration of what it means to navigate physically in a world where the ground is no longer solid. And there are 8 incredible dancers who move inside my sculpture in its multiple layers and move. And as they shift their weight in these netted forms, it changes the shape of the world for everyone else in it. And in addition, there are 4 stagehands behind the curtain who are using pulleys to manipulate the shape of my sculpture as the dancers interact with it. So it is truly unique. It really invites you into a world where gravity is optional, connection is essential, and really our collective capacity for trust and renewal is celebrated.
I like that so much. Well, for the listeners who can, I hope you can go see that. There's links here to that, as well as the book and other exhibits that are also traveling. I want to thank you so much, Janet, for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure, and congratulations on the book and the exhibits and the performance.
Thank you so much, Brainerd. What a pleasure.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.